This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Earlier on, we were talking about whistleblowers, specifically looking at the Whistleblower Protection Act 2010 and whether or not there is enough coverage, whether there's a need to change that up, but also about how increasingly we are seeing people use social media as an avenue to report, basically. And we're seeing as well the government saying, no, please don't do that. Please go directly to the police. Of course, when the police are who you are trying to talk about, I think that can feel like a very difficult thing. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on this and whether or not, you know, what role does social media play as an avenue for whistleblowing? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we have this from Helmi, who says, if people have little trust on the agencies mentioned previously, and we heard earlier seven agencies mentioned by Dr. Moen of Transparency International, Helmi goes on to say, then perhaps social media will continue to be the preferred channel to publicize wrongdoings. And that's an interesting point, in no small part because then I think this idea of the deficit of public trust, there is going to have to be some sort of, whether it's slowly building up that trust or some sort of public show of, look, you can come to us, a case maybe that everybody can look to and say, yes, in that instance, you know, we saw fairness and justice and people being treated appropriately. I think, you know, we do need to see this build up of public trust in these public agencies and avenues, because otherwise, you're right, you know, social media is immediate and it's there for everybody. And despite the fact that you know you could get in trouble for it, it may seem to be the easier path. Jessica is making a very similar point, saying most of us don't trust authorities to implement the various laws because of double standards. And that speaks to the show, I think, that we did yesterday as well, covering this exact topic. Lastly, we have Meezy saying, well, asking essentially whether what happened recently with an international news outlet, is that whistleblowing? If yes, then I don't think I'd be in any hurry to do much whistling. So there you go. Some worries and concerns around power, as well as, I think, double standards being shown there. You can let us know your thoughts, though. What role does social media play when it comes to whistleblowing? And what is it going to take for people to feel comfortable going down official channels with the trust, right, that something's going to happen at the end of it? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. You may also want to get in touch on our next story, because it's a really interesting one. It's about whether or not someone can be sued for spreading COVID-19. So you may have seen this. This story is actually stemming from the Sivaganga cluster and CAKE, or the Consumers Association of Kedah, and several other NGOs in the state plan to sue the man who has been identified as authorities, who has been identified by authorities as patient zero in this particular cluster. And they're serious about it. They're already drafting up the suit with lawyers because the NGOs believe that the 1,000 ringgit fine was too light for the consequences of this man breaking quarantine orders. He was seen at his shop on Hari Raya Haji wearing a pink band on his wrist, which essentially marked him as a returnee who had failed to quarantine himself for the required 14 days. And the impact of that has been massive. Almost half of the over 130 cases found in Kedah yesterday were linked to this cluster, and it's reportedly spreading to neighbouring states like Perlis and Penang. Additionally, four mukims in Kubang Pasu have been placed on a targeted enhanced movement control order. And this gentleman's restaurant has been ordered to close until the end of the month, and state authorities are considering revoking its business licence. And if you go back to what the NGOs are saying, Muhammad Yusrizal Yusuf of CAKE believes that taking legal action against the man will serve as a serious warning to others who fail to comply with quarantine orders. And this is something that I think we've been hearing about from the Director General, from everybody essentially saying, you really need to take these quarantine orders seriously. And this is a direct example of what can happen when you don't. However, legally, it's interesting. can you sue someone for making you sick? And, you know, does the reverse, where you may have infected somebody inadvertently or otherwise, would that hold true as well? Could you get sued? And I'm not sure what the law says exactly, which is why after this we are going to be speaking with a lawyer. But it does open you up. It does open up a lot of interesting questions. For instance, intention, right? You know, what if you did almost everything right, but you still fell within that small percentage of, you know, that small percentage either of misuse or just being unfortunate, being in a very, very crowded space. On the other hand, you also have the idea of, and I think for me, my first thought was that of guilt, because very early on, we saw a lot of examples of people struggling to deal with the guilt of having spread COVID-19, of having contracted it and spread it to their family, their friends, their community. And that's been an important element of this, because there is a, because it is such a feared illness, because it is a global pandemic, there are very real concerns of what happens or how patients deal with it when they know that they may have passed it on to someone else. Now, I'm not saying that it means that you shouldn't punish somebody who clearly just, you know, flaunted the them not following the rules, but if you open this up and if you can sue people, what would that mean for people who are already struggling with that guilt, I think, is a question that I had. But anyways, let us know what you think. We're talking about whether or not you can sue somebody for spreading COVID-19. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think people should? Or is it enough to have societal punishment? For instance, a restaurant is currently rated 1 star on Google reviews. Is that enough? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Vivian Kwan, who is a commercial dispute resolution lawyer. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking about plans from NGOs in the state of Kedah to sue the man who has been identified as patient zero, who broke quarantine rules. And so we're just talking about the legal ramifications and possibilities of that. If you'd like to weigh in, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're also crossing over to Vivian Kwan, commercial dispute resolution lawyer. Vivian, thanks for joining us. First question, can we legally hold people accountable for spreading COVID-19?
The short answer is yes. While there are criminal implications, I think everyone is aware of, where we commit an offence under the Prevention of Control of Infectious Diseases, both under the Act and the 2020 regulations. Criminal implications aside, civil suits, yes, you can bring an action, civil action, to hold a party accountable for spreading or causing the spread of COVID-19. Of course, this is subject to the elements you would need to prove in court in order to bring a successful claim.
Right. And if you could maybe elaborate on that, right? Where would this fall under the law? Would it be negligence?
Yes, negligence, as you've correctly pointed out, is indeed one of the elements to be proven in a tortious claim. Now, in order to bring a claim of this nature, first and foremost, you would need to prove that you have in fact been infected by someone, or you have to draw that link to the cause for your infection. Now, why is this important? This is important because this gives you the locus standi to bring a civil action. Very briefly, what a locus standi means, it is actually a Latin phrase. Locus standi means a place of standing. So simply put, it is a right or an ability to bring an action in a court of law. So in order to have this right of standing, you would need to prove that you have been infected and someone's act of negligence or something of that sort has caused your infection.
And are there examples that we could look to in other countries when it comes to bringing legal action?
Right. So I would take US, for example. There was reportedly 1,300 complaints linked to COVID-19 filed in the US courts. as we all are aware, that they are quite a litigious society, where we all see the conflict between public health and freedom. I will just give you three examples that I've read about in the U.S., and then we can dissect that for ourselves. Now, okay, the first example would be where there was a lawsuit against this cruise line called the Princess Cruise Line, where there was a mishandling of welfare of their passengers on board. And this was on board their Grand Princess ship. And the reason was because the Princess Cruises, they were aware that at least one of their passengers from the previous voyage had COVID-19 symptoms. But yet the company made a conscious decision to continue sailing with their 3,000-odd new passengers on this infected ship. So a lawsuit or multiple lawsuits were filed against the Princess Cruise Line. That's one example. The second example I can give is in January 2020, the American Airlines has been hit with a lawsuit, and this was filed by the pilot union, demanding that the airline immediately halt flights between the U.S. and China because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Of course, this is still pending in their courts. And of course, the most interesting one and the most well-known one is where there were COVID-19 lawsuits against China. Multiple class action COVID-19 lawsuits were filed against the Chinese government, alleging that they were negligent in attempting to contain the COVID-19 virus, and thereby, of course, contributing to the outbreak in the U.S. Be that as it may, we can anticipate that the nature of these kind of lawsuits, i.e. filed against foreign governments, or rather cross-border suits, may face serious challenges because the international law and legal convention is a hurdle to go past, and the likelihood of recovery may be a low one. So yeah, these are the three examples I can think of and I've read about that has happened in other countries.
And without looking or going into the specifics of the Sivaganga case, how would you prove that you got infected by someone?
Right. So in order to prove that you have been infected by someone, it is quite an uphill task, if I may say, because you would have to trace back your steps, your daily activities. If it's a claim in court, you would have to give a very, very careful account of your whereabouts, the places you have been. And on top of that, perhaps you would have a stronger case if you can show that you have contracted a different strain from what the others have around you, and specifically trace this to a specific person. And so in order to do all of that, you would also need medical experts to testify in court on that note. So it is quite a number of steps to take. We all have to bear in mind these steps.
And since this does involve a restaurant, let's put it into the context also of employer-employee. Would it end up applying here if the employer doesn't provide a safe environment for workers and they end up catching COVID-19?
Yes. So employers have the duty to comply with the SOPs imposed by the government. We all know that. And in order for you to bring a successful claim against your employer, if you are intending to do so, you will need to prove that you have contracted this virus when you were at work or on the job, and coupled with the fact that the SOPs were not in place. Now, on the other side of the coin, the employer could argue that the employee has gotten this virus outside of work, right? Which can be quite a strong argument to take. So, I mean, possibly you can bring an action where, for instance, where the employee is sent for work abroad, and thereby exposing the employee to the risk of COVID-19 and thereafter not imposing a quarantine period for this employee, and thereby, because of that, causing the spread to the other employees, so on and so forth. So in clear instances like that, you may be able to bring an actionable claim against your employer. I don't see how otherwise you can actually bring a claim against your employer if these elements to prove that link is not there. So, yeah.
What kind of precedent would it set if a case like this does go through?
Okay, so this would depend on the court's findings and also reasons given for the finding of the court. I believe, of course, if the claim is a successful one, I believe it would send a message across the nation that parties would be held accountable for any carelessness or failure to act, negligence, or anything of that sort in causing this COVID-19 spread. Now, however, if the claim fails to fulfill the necessary elements, it may be an unsuccessful claim and it may be struck out by the court. So it is always very important to know whether you have a basis for your claim even before filing it in court.
What would happen if to the validity of this case if there is unfortunately a death that does come from this cluster?
Well, if the case is an ongoing one in court, then a death or multiple deaths in the case would probably affect the quantum of damages claimed. Now, the larger hurdle before even getting there is going back to the fact of whether you are able to attribute liability. And what that means is whether this party that you're suing in court was indeed this a party that has caused you to contract COVID-19. So it has to always go back to that question on whether you can actually prove that causal link.
And if the point of this proposed move, as has been said, was to teach a hard lesson to others to abide by the rules, should we, you know, does it have to fall to a court of law for this, or would societal lashback suffice?
Yeah, so... Well, of course, in this day and age where everything can be seen and uploaded online, made viral, etc., of course, consumers are at the upper hand when it comes to having this information at our fingertips, right? But then the hype, or so to speak, these viral news would soon fade and die out, and oftentimes it can be forgotten, and then we see the problem recurring again, right? So this is where we as citizens, we turn to the courts to hold parties accountable. Of course, this goes back to the question of whether you can actually prove that it is in that person's action or that company's action or omission that has caused you to contract this COVID-19 virus. Of course, in specific instances where we discussed earlier, you know, where an action is brought against a cruise ship or an airline company for gross negligence, that I think there will be a higher likelihood of success. Be that as it may, the role of the judiciary is a paramount one in society. And I strongly believe that the courts are always there for us to turn to for recourse when public interest is at stake.
Vivian, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Vivian Kwan, commercial dispute resolution lawyer, talking about a suit that is going to be brought against the man who's been identified as patient zero in the Sivaganga cluster, someone who was seen at his shop on Hari Raya Haji wearing a pink band on his wrist. And so there is this push now to show that if you do flout the rules of quarantine, you know, there needs to be serious repercussions. So the question is, do you agree with this? Do you think that there is validity? Is this something that we should explore perhaps in other instances as well to really send a message to people to follow the rules? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, which is also where we have a poll running. which is asking this question: should we be allowed to sue a person for spreading COVID-19? And right now, basically 50% are saying yes for negligence, while 35.7% are saying, well, it depends. We also had a message much earlier on from MZ who says, sue the guy. If they need contributions to do it, I'll contribute versus contributing for a certain politician. And while at it, please petition the authorities to revoke the guy's PR. This has to be a lesson for all COVIDiots. And I think this speaks to, I remember when we spoke with Malik Ali, who's the founder of BFM and also currently stuck in Singapore. He talked about how in Singapore, there were very serious repercussions for flouting the rules of their version of the MCO. Essentially, people had work visas and so on taken away. And for that reason, that really sent the message that the authorities were serious. So that's a very good point, MZ. Do let us know your thoughts. We're going to be back to continue this conversation after the 7 o'clock news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.